Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the eLaborate Topics podcast. I am your co-host for today's show, Stephanie Whitehead. Thank you so much for tuning in today. And I have got a special guest in the show with me today. But before I introduce her, do a favor for me really quick and share this episode out. We are so happy to be rounding out another season, season three, y'all, over 26,000 downloads, over 100 countries. We are so proud and thankful for our listeners who tune in every week. So continue to show our show some love and share this episode out. And as we wrap up season three, and as we close out this year, I've got a guest for you all today and a very timely conversation. So I hope you all enjoy it. I want to welcome to the show, Miss Ogechi Oheto, otherwise known as OG. I call her OG, but welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Stephanie.
No problem. So before we get too far into it, I want OG to go ahead and tell the listeners all about herself, talk about her laboratory journey, and then we're going to get straight into our topic for today.
All right. So I am currently a medical technologist too in Jacksonville, Florida. I currently work in microbiology or in the microbiology department. So my lab journey, it started with I've been in a lab since 2015, and I graduated from the University of Florida, go Gators. And I, after I graduated with a bachelor's in biology, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. Initially, I wanted to be a pediatrician, and then I didn't want to go to all that school. I didn't want to go through all that. And then I realized that kids get sick, you know, I forgot. I forgot that part, and I'm empathetic, so I knew I just couldn't handle that. So I had a friend, he was like, hey, we have the same credentials, you should definitely work in the lab. And I was like, the lab? I forgot the lab existed, right? I didn't realize that. Of course, there's people back there running my samples. So when I started working in the lab as an assistant in 2015, and then in core lab, and then eventually I got exposed to microbiology and I fell in love. I fell in love with the fact that you can inoculate petri dishes, you know, plates, and little organisms can show up different colors. I fell in love with that whole concept, and I became a lab assistant in micro shortly after, and then they were encouraging me to get my clinical laboratory science degree, and I went ahead and did that. And then in 2019, I officially finished, did all of my rotations, but I stayed in microbiology because that is my one true love. So pretty much it.
But what OG didn't tell you is, in addition to all those wonderful things, and in addition to being a very gifted and talented microbiologist in the laboratory, she is also an extreme advocate for the laboratory and our culture. Her and I work together through the ASCLS on the Diversity Advocacy Council. And that's how I met OG. And so on today's show, her and I want to talk about some content we recently released through the ASCLS. And it's about insights for diversity and inclusion and equity, which are very important in our laboratory culture, especially during the holidays. So just to preference that, we all know that the holidays is a great time to celebrate. I mean, it's the songs say it. Mariah Carey said it best. It's the most wonderful time of the year. But we know that the laboratory has also been for many years, especially coming off the heels of COVID, under insurmountable pressure, strain due to workforce shortages, burnout, stress. And a lot of laboratory teams like to take this time of the year to celebrate and try to lift spirits and try to look forward to the future. Everybody loves looking forward to the new year, et cetera, et cetera. But OG and I wanted to release some content just to make sure that as we were all celebrating in our workplaces, that we were making sure that we kept, you know, our holiday plans, our holiday focused, DE&I centered. And so OG, I'm going to ask you from your perspective, to tell the listeners, like I said, from your perspective, what is diversity planning and what is it not in the laboratory? Maybe from some of your own experiences. I definitely have some of mine, but I'll let you go ahead. What is diversity in the lab and what is diversity? What is it not in the laboratory?
So in my opinion, diversity in the lab is simply an inviting and inclusive culture. Having a differences of age, gender, ethnicity, and even educational backgrounds as your employees. I think sometimes leaders or organizations will try to just hire experienced techs, right? It looks good at first, right? But sometimes experienced techs get stuck in their ways, or they will do things the way that they've known to do it for years and years and years, as opposed to when you have techs fresh out of school that you can mold and show them the way that you do things. So I think recognizing and being able to diversify the types of people you hire is basically creating a diverse environment in the laboratory. Give the students a chance, please. As a baby tech myself, give us a chance.
Right, because everybody has something to bring. So you have your more tenured techs who understand, you know, probably more of the science behind some of the automation that makes our work so standardized and so fast and effective. But then we also have younger techs that may understand more of our technology and our computer science. So everybody has something to offer. But I wanted to say what diversity is not, is it's not hiring a specific quota of people in your laboratory. Would you agree? It's not making sure that we count the number of a specific type of person in our laboratory. It's making sure that we are inclusive in our mindsets of all of the beliefs and backgrounds that we have, whether it be age, sex, et cetera, in our laboratory. And then once we have that diverse team, making sure that we empower the voices of our team and making sure that everybody feels inclusive. Do you agree?
I agree. I think groupthink is something that some organizations struggle with. Like, everyone thinks the same. Everyone has had the same training, although that is good. Sometimes, you know, having other perspectives can make processes better. It's not good to always shut out different ways of doing things or different, like I said, educational backgrounds and things like that, because we're all just here for the patients.
Mm-hmm. And I'll link it in the show because previously in this season 3, I also did an interview and had a conversation with Ms. Sherry Hodge. And that episode is called Diversity Daily. And she additionally had some really great insights onto how to create an inclusive environment and culture and what the positive effects are that are on your laboratory in terms of retention and in terms of employee engagement in the laboratory. But let's get into our article. And so, like I said, the article focuses mainly on the holidays. The holidays are, you know, my favorite time of the year. The holidays are my season. I've definitely been in labs where DE&I was not a focus, but I am happy that we've decided to collaborate and put out this content so that as individuals in their laboratory decide to come together and celebrate, that everybody can definitely feel inclusive. So as the holidays approach, it is important that we be attentive to diversity and inclusion in the laboratory now more than ever, especially with, like we just mentioned, the way our nation is going, especially with so much documentation on how having an inclusive environment can help with mental health in our laboratory. I feel like this article once you read it, will be great information for our listeners out there. And so I'm going to go into just a couple of tips because I want everybody to go and read the article. But one of my favorite tips that we have in the article is obviously celebrate diversity. The holidays is a time to bring people together. Not everyone celebrates Christmas. Not everybody celebrates Hanukkah, but most everybody has a way that they share the holidays or they share this time or they come together with their families to have a good time with each other. And so take this time as a moment in your laboratory to talk to your team. Ask them, how do you celebrate this time of the year with your family? Or do you celebrate this time of the year with your families? Just like the holidays tend to bring families together, this is a great time to use this season to bring your team together. We put some suggestions in the article about food. If you're having a potluck, this is a great way to be inclusive and showcase different diverse cuisines in your laboratory if you're doing a potluck. Obviously be COVID safe with your potlucks, or having an ugly sweater contest or another neutral but fun way for you to partake in the holidays. What's one of your favorite tips that we had in the article, OG?
For me, it would be to be sure to keep the event open to all, regardless of religious and cultural backgrounds, and make sure to be sensitive to any beliefs or practices that may be different from your own. I feel like this is very, very important, and it definitely creates that inclusive environment when you have events that are open to everyone. And when I say everyone, I specifically want to remind leaders to not forget the off-shift and weekend employees. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes when we have these festivities, we focus mostly on day shift, which I understand most mm-hmm. people work on day shift, but your off-shift employees and your weekend employees feel left out. And in my experience, I've seen this too many times, right? I work second shift, and most of the people typically who work second shift and night shift are the newer employees. So remember, we are your future. We are eventually, and you guys, you know, go on, we will come into your position. So if you give us or leave kind of a bad taste in our mouth, you know, that could potentially spread, you know, into spread, you know, to the whole department, or, you know, as a leader, I can, you know, continue to have that anger towards, you know, how the organization has treated me. So when you have festivities, try to make sure you just include everyone, no matter, you know, even your PRNs, try to include them or leave them a little token of, hey, you are remembered during this time. Trust me, it goes a long way. Anytime I've had those things at my PRN jobs where they're like, hey, you got a gift card from the pathologist, I feel 10 times better. And I'm like, wow, you know, they care about me. They remember who I am. They don't just think like, oh, she comes every once in a while. Mm-hmm. So that's my favorite.
I love that tip. I also want to mention one more tip and acknowledge that sometimes the holidays can be a saddened time for individuals. We don't know, speaking from a trauma-informed care vantage point, we don't know what types of traumas or what type of previous actions have happened in people's lives. And sometimes the holidays can bring up different emotions for different people. And so while this is a time to also celebrate with your team, but it's also a time to just check in with those around you. If you notice a person who is typically very chipper is acting a little different, or if you notice that a team member who is usually very talkative is a little bit more closed off, this might be a time to check in with your teammates and create a safe space for them to talk and an open dialogue for them to communicate any feelings that they might be having, and let them know that you're an ally to those feelings and that you are there as a listening ear, and just show a little compassion and empathy during this time also. I wanted to ask OG one final question, because we wrote our article and based our content about DE&I considerations for the holidays, but DE&I is something we should consider all the time. So I wanted to ask you, OG, what are some practical and simple best practices that lab professionals can take to improve all the aspects of DE&I in their laboratories?
So some practical and simple best practices, for me, I would think accommodating various communication and learning styles. I think a lot of times I've seen, especially older, well, more seasoned techs eat their young, right? So the way, when you went to school, you learned it this way. So imagine now we're coming up in a time of technology. So we may not maybe focus on all the biochemicals like before, or, you know, all the processes as before. So now we're focused more on the technology. Be open to that. Be open to the fact that I don't know every single thing that goes into, you know, doing this, but I do understand what the end product is supposed to look like. So be accommodating to me and the way that I've learned things, and I will be accommodating to how you learned whatever that we're doing in the laboratory. I think that's a very, very important and missed aspect in the laboratory. I feel like a lot of times we as laboratorians, we're so stuck in our ways. We're like, if it ain't broke, we're not gonna fix it. You know, we're going to do this way. I've done it this way for 20 years, and I'm gonna keep doing it this way, when, you know, as technology advances, there are faster ways to do things and more efficient ways to do things. So if we just keep that in mind, I think that would definitely help.
So as we wrap up, OG, what advice would you have for lab professionals listening to this podcast today that may encounter a situation in their laboratory where they feel uncomfortable, or if they have an idea and have listened and now they want to increase DE&I in their laboratory from a bench perspective? I know you've talked about advice for leaders, but what advice would you have for laboratory professionals who are listening right now?
I would say speak up. No idea is stupid. And people will listen to you. Speak up. And go to that leader that you feel will, go to that person that you feel more comfortable, you know, giving your idea or your concerns to. I've had situations where I've been very uncomfortable and I've voiced my discomfort with someone that I trusted, and that person took me seriously and then escalated. People will listen to you. Mm-hmm. And if you have ideas, once again, speak up. Do not feel like, oh, I'm not, you know, I don't know. Like, I just enter the organization, or don't make up excuses. Speak up. Seriously, people will listen to you.
Mm-hmm. How can leaders reach out to you or connect with you if they just want to continue to talk about this topic, or if they want to get mentorship from you on this topic or others?
Right. So if you would like to get in contact with me, you can reach me via email, which is OIOHAETO@gmail.com. Or you can message me on LinkedIn, and it's just my full first name. So it is Ogechi, which is OGECHI, and then last name OHAETO.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you taking out the time and talking to our listeners. Hopefully we have given the listeners some great considerations as they head into the holidays to be able to celebrate and support their teams with some great DEI considerations. Well, thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me, Stephanie.
And thank you all for listening. Like I said, be sure to share this information out. As we wrap up season 3, we cannot thank our listeners enough. We appreciate everyone who tunes in each week. Until next week, when we bring you some more amazing information, everybody have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.